Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast. CCM is one church that meets every Sunday in various locations across Manchester. For more information about who we are or about our Sunday meetings, please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
My home is not on this earth, not in this world.
It's good to be here. Be here this afternoon as well. One of my favourite services is the Fallowfield Carol service. So. My surname is Barron, B-A-1-R-O-N. Often people say two R's, which doesn't actually do me justice, because one R is very important. Because if you think back into history, Barons were, I guess, quite important people. You know, they were maybe the rulers of some areas, who knows? And I like to think, you know, castles and, you can get your brain really going, can't you? And, but you can get your brain going another way as well. There could have been some of the worst people in society, which is probably why I haven't even bothered to check. But actually, lots of people are checking. It's becoming a kind of phenomenon in this nation, actually in the USA as well. People looking at their family trees. The Guardian newspaper says, interest in family history is undergoing an unprecedented boom, fueled by archives on the internet, websites devoted to helping would-be genealogists, and the popularity of BBC's Who Do You Think You Are? And the Scotsman says, interesting in tracing our ancestors reached such a peak in Scotland that a new research centre is full and councils are being urged to set up their own family tree facilities. Sounds a bit over the top, doesn't it? But it just shows you that a lot of people are interested in history. When I lived in America for 2 years, I ministered there about 14 years ago, just before we started Christchurch Manchester, and for a lot of people there who really had not lived in the USA for many generations, it really was something that they were really keen to do, to find out where their ancestors were. I went down to Missouri at one point, having to get down there on the, what's the Irish, St. Patrick's Day, brain's gone dead. And all along the river, it was like miles was green, tents. Green. It was almost like there were more Irish there than there were in Ireland, you know. My brother lives in Northern Ireland. Because they kind of being away from their homeland gave them more sense of identity with history. And the Jewish nation was very identified also with its history. Very loving the fact that they were the chosen nation, loving the fact that they were descendants of Abraham. It gave them a sense of identity, especially when the Romans at that point in Jesus' time were occupying the nation. Even more so, they were kind of looking back on the way God had been with them. And so Matthew, which we're going to look at, Matthew chapter 1, kind of starts with looking back at Jesus's genealogy, at the history that he was kind of associated with. And it's interesting that you get a few things. In Matthew 1:1, it says this: this is the record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. So, first verse roots it into the big heroes of the Jewish faith. Abraham, the father of the nation, and David, the king, the shepherd king, both who had amazing promises of the Messiah. David, that his rule would reign forever and ever, and Abraham, that there would be so many descendants of his that actually you wouldn't be able to count them wherever they are. So they were kind of the two people that if you were going to write a genealogy, that's who you would put. if you wanted to root somebody to show that, a bit like Barron, I would find somebody who was a good castle owner, looked after his people well. You know, it would, that's the kind of thing that you would do. But actually, in this genealogy, there are other people mentioned. There are actually four other women. It says Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Ram was the father of Abinadab. Abinadab was the father of Nashon. Nashon was the father of Solomon. Solomon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, who was the mother of Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. And then it finishes many verses later with Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. So we have some significant four unlikely women. So Tamar was an adulteress. Rahab was a prostitute. Ruth was not even Jewish. She was a Moabite who basically married into the Jewish faith. And Bathsheba was the wife of Uriah, who basically then slept with David and had a child. And David, to cover up what has happened, got Uriah killed. These are not sort of people that are going to probably enhance your heritage if you want to try and make yourself kind of a good lineage. It actually gets worse than that because there's four wicked kings. They're not on the board there. We have Rehoboam, Jeroboam, Ahaz, and Manasseh. I think this says Manasseh was the wickedest king of all. So they are labelled and mentioned in this whole genealogy. So can you see, it's a complete mixed bag. And you know what? I would suggest that probably that is a bit typical of most of us. I would think if we all went back into our histories, there would be some colourful characters. There would be some you would think are more on the saintly part of kind of life. And there were others that effectively may have been in prison, may have even murdered, may have done some terrible things. And then it ends up with two village people, and that is Joseph and Mary. It's interesting. Fillmore says this: the genealogy of Jesus is the who's who of the villains of ancient Israel. And it is important that we understand that Jesus wanted to be associated with the whole realm of the history of the nation. That it wasn't just Moses and David and Abraham. And even those two actually had their flaws. David, as we know, and Abraham tried to get rid of his wife twice. Because he was scared. And, she was a pretty girl, and he thought the ruler, Egyptian ruler, I think it was the Moabite ruler, one of the other rulers, that would take his wife and kill him. Isn't it a very pretty history, is it? And the more you delve into it, the more you kind of realise, would you start a book with such a mixed thing? I've often looked at this previously and just kind of, it's just a list of names putting Jesus in context. You know, that's how I kind of looked at it. But as I looked at it now, I think, no, it's actually more than just a kind of context of history. It's a context of human people. It's actually Jesus identifying with mankind. And actually, everybody and everybody's history could get a place in this history. And then it says this, Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And so God came into this lineage. God came into this history. God came to identify with all of human nature and people. So that's the kind of background of Matthew. That's his start. And then I want to just focus now on one of the names that is in this whole story. And that is Joseph. And he doesn't get a lot of press. He gets he'll get in a nativity. And he gets in the odd song. You know, he doesn't kind of get a lot of mention outside of the Christmas story. Mary does. Other people do. But actually, Joseph, he's kind of, that's where he is. In fact, actually, in the Gospels, we see that actually he's mentioned in Matthew 1 and 2, and then he's mentioned in Luke 2:41 when Jesus is 12 years old, and that's it. Actually, it looks like he died somewhere between when Jesus was 12 and 30. In fact, when Jesus then went ministering, it says his mother, Jesus' mother, Mary, and his brothers came to see him. Joseph is never mentioned. So he's an interesting guy. I just feel he's an unsung hero. Because he's just an amazing person. A village labourer. And now, actually, Matthew writes more about him in Matthew chapter 1 than Jesus' birth. Amazing, isn't it? So something really special about this guy. So I want to just look at a few things that actually were his characteristics and also how that could apply to us. And I just feel he's just a fantastic role model. First thing I want to look at is that he was a kind man and made kind decisions, especially when coping with scandalous news. You know, it's easy to be kind when people are being kind to you. So it's easy to be nice when people are being nice to you. When I'm having a slight disagreement with my wife, it's on tape, so we'll just keep it at that sort of level. I'm joking. Sometimes she'll say, "Colin, all I want you is to be kind." I don't know. You know, it's kind of, don't want the, just one, you know. And it's easy to be kind when everything's good and go well. It's sometimes a little bit harder in the cut and thrust of just normal life. And then when people really do bad things to you, that is even worse. And in a sense, Joseph probably in his mind had the worst thing possible happen to him. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant with the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's Mary, she's engaged. An engagement then was like our marriage, without the sex and without living together. So effectively, what I'm trying to say this is, it was much more than a kind of ring on your finger and an anticipation of that legal day when you get married. It was a much more legal contract. It was more like a wedding contract than we understand. So basically, it was going to last a year. That was the norm. And you basically contracted to get married. You got engaged. And in a sense, apart from being together, you were almost legally married. Which means to say that if something happened in that year, and you wanted to break it off, it was like divorce. It was the same kind of thing. So here in this year, when they are engaged, contracted to be married, she gets pregnant. And can you imagine what she felt like having to tell Joseph? You know, God has just given me a baby. I'm not sure that kind of makes sense. Okay, you can imagine the conversation. Sometimes I wish the writers kind of dug into it a bit. I would just have loved to have known how it went, that conversation. And for Joseph, all he could think is my wife, future wife, present, if you understand that, has been unfaithful. I mean, he couldn't get out of that in his head. I mean, who had heard of God giving a virgin a baby? And so it says this in Matthew 1:19. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement off. Okay? So as far as he was concerned, she had totally betrayed him. But there was something in him. It says a good man. He loved her. And he wanted the best, actually, for her. You know, that's one of our big values in Christ Church Manchester. To think the best of people. To try and be the best for them. Even if it hurts. Even if they have wronged us. To actually try and do good. And it's really difficult. It's really difficult to be kind when you feel totally betrayed. Abused would be an overstatement. You understand what I mean? So, basically, you could either divorce by going to the priests, and that would mean stoning, or you could divorce, which most people did privately, in front of a couple of witnesses. And so that's what he decided to do. So, second thing, Matthew 1:20. So he was really kind. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from the sins. You know? So she's told him, now an angel comes. And it's interesting that in the first two chapters of Luke and in Matthew, the angels it's like the world's full of angels. Okay? Shepherds see them. Everybody's seeing angels. It's kind of, actually, there's a lot of people in the world now are seeing angels. A lot of people in nations that are close to the gospel, they're seeing angels. There's visitations of the heavenly hosts. But it's like unprecedented at this time. Zechariah, another character, he's a priest. They're not being able to have children. And an angel comes to him in the temple. And the angel said to him, you're going to have a son. And he said, how? Show me. And it's like he was dubious at the best. You know, he was kind of, if you can show me and prove to me. Well, actually, what the angel did was shut his mouth so he couldn't say anything else till the baby was born. But Joseph, he was a different person. He had a different attitude to this. Somehow, he could rise in faith to what the angel was saying. He was a faith-filled man. It's just hard to have faith sometimes in extraordinary, emotionally stressful, shameful, actually, situations. You know, we can so often, if it was me, I would be protecting myself, wouldn't you? I've just had all this knowledge. I'm going to privately divorce my wife. I've got to actually explain that to everybody. You know, when you go through times like that, when people die, when people have got illnesses, cancer, when things become really difficult, you know what you tend to do? You do what Zechariah do. You build a wall around you. Just to protect you. Somehow Joseph didn't have that wall that protected him from the angel's voice, but received it with faith and acted upon him. An amazing thing, God loves faith. You know, I'm almost like, more than anything else, God loves faith. Lots of you have been giving out of amazing faith and generosity to the Big Give offering. I know some of you, to get 30,000 from our demographic is an amazing, amazing thing. But that's some people, that's a step of faith, you know. I'm going to give and then trust God so the poor can be looked after. So we learn from him that he was a kind man in the face of real difficulty. He's full of faith. And then he was faithfully obedient. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and he named him Jesus. He took on the fact that everybody would have believed he had had sex with this lady. And he didn't. And he chose to be obedient and honour the year marriage contract. That was a massive thing. Can you imagine in little village life? These are village people. Everybody knows all the village gossip. Everybody knows everything. He lived with that. She lived with that. But he chose to live with that. You know, I think if it was me, I would be nowhere near like this guy. But I'd probably say, okay, she's pregnant, might as well have sex. Do you know? Sorry, that's, you know, you'd kind of, you think, okay. But he chose to live obediently. Do you understand? It's an amazing, massive statement that Matthew is making here. This was an amazing, obedient guy. You know, he had, after this, three other encounters with angels. An angel came to him and said, flee here because Herod's going to kill all the babies. And so he took his family to Egypt. You know, that's like me going to kind of Mongolia. What I'm trying to say is, it's not like just jumping on an aeroplane and going to Shelmet Sharm, wherever it is. I've been there, actually, to the Baron Hotel, would you believe? Very nice. Well recommended. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? When we think of Egypt, we think of kind of either pyramids or swimming with the kind of dolphins, you know? Actually, this is a village guy that had to take his family as refugees to a country that had made their nation slaves years before. This is a big deal. So he gets there, and then God, after a bit, says, now go back. And then twice, this is a fantastic obedient guy. Hey, he's got so much to teach us. And I just feel, just bringing this into land, that actually these three things from this dear man are just something I think just we need to keep pondering upon and making part of our lives. Kindness, thinking others better than ourselves. That's a hard thing to do, isn't it? But that's what the Bible says. You know, and I genuinely feel like, just think of the nations with that level of kindness. Just think of the impact that kindness and thinking others, honouring others, looking after others more than yourself. That's what he did with Mary, you know? actually took on himself the shame that could have been there. Do you know? It was actually God involved in all this, but the people didn't know that. So I just want to encourage us. Let's do some acts of kindness. And let's try to do some acts of kindness in unusual places, with unusual people of different nationalities, religions, backgrounds. Second thing is just great faith. Just what it encourages. If you feel like faith is waning, you know, faith is a bit like water in a sieve. You know, faith kind of, you fill it up quick and then the holes just let it go through. Do you know? It's like sometimes your faith is big. You feel like we can move a mountain. And then a few hours later, it's like, ugh. Do you know? It's just, that's me. So my faith kind of is like this. You know? Sometimes I feel like we can be 1,000 people as a church. And sometimes I'm looking and think, wow, are we going to survive? Which is stupid, because we're growing to 300. But you know, that's that when you're involved in things, when you're in praying for things, that's how it can be, isn't it? You're kind of on this. So just want to encourage us. Pray for one another that we would be full of faith. Jesus loved great faith. And then obedience. What is God saying to you? What is God saying? And God loves faithful obedience. Let's stand. Look, the virgin will conceive a child who will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph was instrumental in bringing up the Son of God. Had Jesus calling him Dad. Isn't that insane? Isn't that insane? That actually God, who created the heavens and the earth, said, Dad, can I have an extra helping? It's insane, isn't it? But you see, that's the greatness of our God. That is our God, who had everything and became nothing and humbled himself to become we are. Lord God, I just want to praise you and bless you for Joseph and Mary. I want to praise you that, God, you entrusted yourself to them, God, to raise you on this earth. And Lord God, I want to bless you that you chose ordinary people with a normal heritage to be your hands and feet on this earth. Amen.